would like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open with prayer, and hopefully Harold and I can stay on track this morning with the bulletin. The last couple of Sundays, we've had a real good time of Harold and I got off track. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, that's all right.
I know it is. So we're going to stay on schedule this morning. The month of April is our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Our goal was $1,500. As of this morning, or as of last Sunday, we have received $870. So continue to remember that and pray for that and give as the Lord leads you. Remember, today is our 155th year birthday celebration for Wigan Baptist Church. Brother David will have more to say about that. Please stay for lunch. After lunch, we'll have a community sing and be no evening service. Remember, April the 30th is after the evening worship, we'll have Taco Sunday. Bring your favorite taco toppings. Someone asked me, well, what is a taco topping? Whatever you want on your taco. So, if you want ice cream on it, bring ice cream. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Blueberries.
Anything like that. Today is a special day, and Brother David will say have a lot more to say about that. We welcome our guest this morning. He'll introduce them, right, Brother David? But before we have prayer, y'all know I enjoy history. Okay, so I'm not getting into any of Brother David's remarks or anything like that. So. Not going to say anything about Wigan Baptist Church yet, but what was going on in 1868, y'all? Just a few things. President Andrew Johnson is impeached by the House of Representatives and then acquitted by the Senate by one vote. Memorial Day is observed for the first time. Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, North and South Carolina are readmitted into the United States. A side note. You remember your Georgia history? Georgia was the last state to be readmitted in 1870. The 14th Amendment was adopted, and it guaranteed African Americans full citizenship. It also gave all persons in the United States due process or equal protection under the law. President Johnson granted unconditional pardons to all Civil War rebels. And Wigan Baptist Church was established and built by Reverend Joshua Moore. Amazing, y'all. God be the glory. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this special day, Lord, this special service, Lord. We thank you for Reverend Martin's family who made the trip down to celebrate with us today, Lord. But, Lord, we just pray all these things that we are doing today, the service, the dedication for the hope, ministry, the lunch, the same, Lord. We are doing it all to bring honor and glory on our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope." The Hope Sunday School class has been working and praying on a new project for several months now. Brother John Paul mentioned to us one time in a sermon about a specific need for foster children. Fostering is a beautiful picture of what God does for us. When we are in crisis, He takes us in, gives us peace and rest, and provides everything we need. Our world is broken, and there are many children who find themselves in the foster system through no fault of their own. Our prayer is that we can help make a difference for these children. Our church has been collecting new items and putting them in a special room for our church that foster parents can come and sort of shop for their new kids. We've named our room, There Is Hope. This room will be open for those children and foster parents in need and will be supervised correctly. The Hope Sunday School class would like to thank our church for all the donations made for making this project, There Is Hope, a reality. Wigan Baptist Church is definitely a mission-minded church. We are praying that this will be a continual project for Wigan Baptist Church, and we're hoping that this will always be well-stocked so that we can make a difference. We Please pray for our church and our classes we dedicate There Is Hope. If you have any questions or would like to make any donations, please contact any of our class members. Please feel free to look at our Hope Room when you leave today. And I just want to say, if you don't have a Sunday school class, we'd love to have you. It's a group of women. We love each other. We support each other. And we are always coming up with new ideas to help others. And we thank you for your help and your prayers in the Hope Sunday school class.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the disciples asked him, Jesus, when did we do these things? And you remember Jesus' reply. He said, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I reckon the folks who get picked up in the middle of the night by defects or by the police and have to be moved from one home to another are definitely qualified as the least of these. Could be easily overlooked, but your church was sensitive to what God was saying to you and wanted to establish this Hope Room and supplies for others. You have no idea how far reaching this may be. Just like a little boy who took his lunch of a few fish and some loaves, we're gathering where Jesus was speaking, and the next thing he knew, it was all being multiplied so that thousands of people could be fed. We have no idea how many lives are going to be changed and how many children are never going to forget that in a night of crisis, there was availability to them for some items they desperately needed because you honored the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we dedicate this Hope Room and this Hope Ministry to you, and we want all glory to go to you as well. Thank you for speaking to us, not only from your word, but also conviction in our hearts when we hear messages from your word, that we're to be obedient and to practice it, and not to shake the preacher's hand going out the door saying, oh, that was a good one. And saying, oh God, what can we do that would make a difference in the community in which we live? Father, we live in a time in which we're complaining like the rest of the world of how everything has gone sour instead of asking, what can we do? And this little thing that's being done here at Wigan Baptist Church is something that's going to glorify you, going to meet the need of people in crisis. So I thank you, O Lord, for this room and for the people that it will minister to in your name. For I ask this in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning again. Before our call to worship hymn, there's a special person here this morning we want to sing happy birthday to. Mary Schwartz, happy birthday. Anyone else that might have a birthday today or this past week that we can recognize this morning? No one else? So let's all sing happy birthday to Mary. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Our call to worship this morning is hymn 441, for Looking in the Hymnal. It's Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. We're going to sing first, second, and last verses. Please stand. Jesus came into my heart. 567.
Jesus made it all.
let everybody know this morning before we sing choir special that Sean is not singing bass today in the bass section. We had problems with the microphone, so we're going to have to share a mic, so that's why she's in the bass section.
We will stop and give you praise. Thank you, choir. Wonderful, I appreciate that. I thank you for the worship and the time we're having today for a lot of reasons. But I'm grateful that that song is what Cincy and the choir chose because we are remembering today. And that makes all of this worthwhile for us. You know that I have trouble being just too serious. I think I've gotten over that as I've gotten older. If I can't have fun, I probably ought not be here. But I did have to ask one person if they would speak today, and she refused. I asked Miss Linda if she would come and tell us what she remembered about Joshua Martin. And she informed me that she was not here then. And she had talked to me and told me how old she was. I thought surely she remembered the first pastor of the church. And for those of you who might not know, I have already informed the family that wonderful Miss Linda will be 100 in July. And you're invited to come back and serve. And I think that's a fantastic milestone. Welcome to all of you who maybe are a guest or feel like you have not been here before. Maybe you have, and we certainly are glad that you can. John Paul, is good to see you. And I turned around and did not meet your wife, so I don't know her name, so I'm going to say that. Well, John Paul, who is she?
My wife, Sandy.
All right, well, thank you. It is good to have you. We, of course, I've known John Paul for a long time, and I knew he had a wonderful wife because he does a good job. And I know he's got the support. I'm not going to pay a lot of attention to the clock today, but I have my clock here, and it'll probably go off every now and then. But I want to have the clock here for me, not for you. I've already been to the kitchen. There's plenty of food. Everybody's going to go away full, and so we invite you to be a part of that. I've got a lot of things to say, but one of the things that we'll start with is this is the program from the 150th anniversary. And it was loaned to me, and I looked at it, and a wonderful thing is y'all had it stitched instead of stapled, and I thought that was really nice and kind. All of the pastors are in here. I do hope that in a few years you'll add my name as an interim pastor, and hopefully that will help as well. The other things that I brought that are outside of what I had planned to say was, of course, Tim and I agree on this. We love history, and everything can be done under the little computer program Find a Grave. You can easily look up Joshua Martin and find his birthday and his burial here in the Wiggum Cemetery, as well as a picture of that cemetery, a picture of him. I also pulled up the 1870 census for Wiggum, Georgia, but it's not really. It says up here in the corner, the post office is Harrell, and for our postal lady here. So you see, this was census was taken on the 18th day of August 1870, and the entire family is listed here in their ages. The census that our government takes every year is one of the things that helps me in genealogy and in finding people. And I'm very grateful for that because I think it helps us know what's going on, but it also helps us understand what's happening in a community. Today, I would like to introduce the family that is here with us because we have a part of the Martin family. I didn't ask, I'm going to ask this blanket question first, and that is, I had understood that most all of the people here with us today are descendants from Charles. Is that right? Okay. And are there other, or are many other descendants from other children that y'all know of?
Charles was one of the bunch.
Charles was, oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, you don't have to commit. That may be cousins you don't want to talk about. And I get it. We're very happy about that. But Ann Fox, would you please stand? I'm going to have all of you stand, so you're just first on the list. And Amelia, you're her daughter. Would you stand? And your friend Charles Todd came along with you, and we appreciate that. Joan, which one are you? Our sister of Ann. And Trish, okay, you're a sister also. And Jim Tom, you are a brother. And Jim Holland. And Chris. There, yeah, Chris Ambrose, they're on the end. So these are, what did y'all say, second or third? Third grade?
They're second, I'm third.
Uh-huh, you're second and third. So we did get it right. Well, y'all give everybody a and you can be seated. I told them that they do have one reward for packing the pew. They get to go through the food line first for the pastor. There are perks in this life. I usually am at the end, I'll be honest. I'm excited also about our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That is wonderful, and I hope that we can easily reach that goal. And secondly, I'm excited about our Hope Ministry. It is so wonderful that we are involved with local ministries for the people in our community as well as others. And that is something that I'm excited about. There are things listed in our bulletin that you can purchase at the store. Just buy one extra when you're there. Or if you know a mother that you're going to buy some diapers for, buy some for us. And make it easy on yourself and help us out as we go along. I looked over a lot of the material and the things that we had found. And this, to me, is such a wonderful gift that a family can give. And that is treasure of our history. And when I did, I found something that is actually listed down here on the table called the Minuteman. And it's more of a history about Joshua Martin. But I think it gives us a good idea of what has happened here on our corner. And I believe that for this 155th anniversary, that's something that our congregation needs to know as well. If you'd like to read the history, you can come talk to me later and I'll show you what happened 5 years ago. But Joshua Martin and Irene Alice Martin Haywood, okay, Big Mama, Big Mama's paternal grandfather, and that has to do with this family. They had a Big Mama, so many of our families do, and they're treasures for us. They help us in so many ways. Was by all accounts, Joshua Martin, a remarkable man, born in Barnwell, South Carolina, 27 December, 1821. He moved with his parents to Stewart County, Georgia, Lumpkin, in 1829 at age 8. And at age 15, he was converted and baptized, which began a long, long journey in faith. When he was 20, he determined to educate himself and formed a plan by which he would work part of each year to pay for his education, and during the remainder of the year, he would work through the plan, and he acquired a pretty fair education. Joshua Martin married Mary Jane Lassley, who was from Telfair County, Georgia, and on 11 February 1847. And from 1848 until 1869, they had 7 children. Those children were Mary Emma, Ansel, Missouri, Martha J., Millie M., Rachel Ann, and Charles. And I think I got all of those. All of those were born in the mid-1850s, about the time of our Civil War. Ansel, one of the ladies, lived until 1946. So the original children all were born and passed away before then, which predates a great number of us in the audience still. He was ordained to the ministry in 1849 at age 28. In 1856, he moved to Lynn Station, Georgia, to work for the Atlantic and Gulf Railroad. He established a church there and then accepted a call to be the pastor. And by the way, that became the First Baptist Church of Bainbridge, Georgia. This was during the Civil War. And he made a number of trips to deliver clothing to the troops. This was called missions, John Paul. Delivering clothes to the troops that were made by the church. So something we could do. During those years, the railroad extended its tracks from Thomasville to Bainbridge, establishing 8 stations every 6 to 8 miles. And in 1868, the railroad moved to one of those stations located in Wigham, Georgia, originally known as Harold Station. There he continued to preach under the first sawmill shed off of Broad Street, right over here. Then after convincing the railroad to grant the use of the corner of the train depot property in a church that with great faith and hard, steady cooperation really sprang up overnight, it became the Wigham Baptist Church. The faith and cooperation mostly of Joshua, he found and acquired most of the lumber, built most of the church himself and made the chairs and the pulpit, as well as the pews. I guess this pulpit, Tim says yes. And probably these 2 chairs and 1, I think, in the office. Looking good so far, I haven't heard it yet. From then on, until he could preach no more, due to age and infirmities, Joshua Martin traveled southwest Georgia, preaching in a number of churches, singing, teaching, performing pastoral duties. Its function, it is said, that he was the first Baptist preacher in the area from Cairo, Georgia, to the western border of Georgia, the Chattahoochee River, and that he established the first Sunday school in the area. And that though not eloquent, he was instructive and interesting, and that he had a strong voice for singing, scrupulously punctual. We started late today. He was known as a Minuteman because he always started things on time. Mary Jane Lashley Martin passed on 17 March 1899, after which Reverend Martin moved with his daughter, Missouri Benton Martin, and granddaughter, Big Mama, back to Bainbridge, and he lived another 11 years until 28 January 1908. When the church was rebuilt and rededicated in 1976, the altar chairs and pulpit were retained from the original building, and we kept the building. So luckily we have available a number of sources of detailed information about his life, his work, and his personality. And we're grateful for the life's bricks is what this was called. Is that right? Life's bricks?
Yes.
I am very grateful for that because the history of our churches and the men who stand behind these pulpits is very significant for all of us. And I'm grateful that we see to preserve that. because that history, it is the shoulders that we stand on in missions. A mission to sew clothing for the troops. Doesn't matter. But that's what it was about, and our churches still do that. Of course, as a congregation, you've already learned my love for history and genealogy, the importance that it's placed in my family. And of course, we saw the wonderful genealogy of Jesus. We started a study in Matthew at the beginning of the year. And to read that genealogy and put together why and who and how, look at that genealogy being saved. Well, today we're here to witness the legacy of a family, of a pastor and his wife, and how a few people who believed it was important to pray, who believed it was important to worship, right here in Wickham, began this group, and they began to share the love of God with others. The full impact of this day on April 15th, 1868, really can't be measured. And I'm sure that even it's hard for us to appreciate it, but God in heaven knows the impact that's going to happen because he's already there in the kingdom of God witnessing what has gone on. I want to bring a shorter message today about resurrection, about the resurrection appearance since last Sunday was Easter. It follows in the scripture that I've used last week to talk about the resurrection. The last verse was John 20, verses 30 and 31, and then I'm going to read some of those that follow. Those verses say this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. John 21, verses 1 through 14, is a story about a miraculous catch of fish that happened after the resurrection. And it starts this way. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus. Okay, I think I mentioned last week or the week before, Didymus now here is also translated the twin. So we give Thomas a good okay because he was the twin as well as the doubter. We won't linger on him. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. But before I go on to verse 3, let me ask, what would you do, or what do you do when you have a problem? What do you do when you get away from something difficult? These men had just lost their best friend. They had seen him literally murdered before they took him and nailed him on a cross. They went back to doing something that they knew, something that they enjoyed. So what does Peter say? Verse 3, I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll come with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I believe I have revealed that. But through my years of experience in ministry, I've learned that there's one thing that you do not do, and that is to try and tell someone else how to fish. Okay? Because, besides, these guys were professionals. They had fished before. They knew how to fish. It was very unusual for them to go out in a boat and throw a net and not bring in any fish. Guess what? Jesus was in charge. He said in verse 6, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, you know, I could just get all theological and say, well, they were fishing on the wrong side of the boat. That's why Jesus said, throw it on the right side of the boat. That's not it. Jesus knew where the fish were. You see, better than fish detectors. Like I said before, I'm not the fishing type guy, but I do want to give a shout out to the greatest mother-in-law in history. I've got her. If anyone could help, it was my mother-in-law, and we called her Mama Duck. And the reason we called her Mama Duck, that's her name. I married into a family of ducks, David Cook being a duck, that makes sense. But we had Mom and Papa Duck, so that was logical. Okay, we grew up, or my wife grew up in L.A., and that's lower Alabama, that's not California. And on Christmas, of course, in L.A., you can go fishing. We wore shorts when we barbecued for Christmas dinner, yes. This was at a relative's pond. We had a little one in the backyard, but before we got there, the other relative knew that we were coming. And so they had gone down and taken a couple of cans of fish food and threw them out in the water. Well, you know what happened then. So he knew a bunch of children were coming, and we all got down there, and these guys, these fish, were ready to eat. So very timidly, I did pick up a fishing pole. I was the new son-in-law. And when I did, I got me some wonderful dried up white bread. That's what I was going to fish with. So I mashed the bread up and got it on the hook. You see, if you use that other stuff, you got to get your hands messy. And I wasn't one of those. So I got it. I floated that out there. And it hit the water, and almost, it looked like the fish jumped up to grab it, because those fish were hungry. He got it. I hooked the first one, a bass, literally about that big. And I said, oh, Lord, what are we going to do now? And so I pulled him in and looked over to my left, and Mama Duck had brought a folding chair. She was sitting right over here. She said, David. So I take that fish and come over like this, put it over here. She took it off the hook. Put it in the bucket for me. See, is that not a mom-in-law for me? I love that lady. Wonderful. That bass caught so quick. She took it off, and I was happy. My point is, that's family. That's what we're talking about. This happens because God has made us who we are, and He gave us this plan to love one another and be a part of our lives and to be a part of who He is. So He was talking to these men who had a heavy, heavy heart, but they knew how to fish. Verse 7 says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire, burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Okay, point number 2. Remember what just happened. Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, and these guys had not seen Jesus, these particular disciples. Did Jesus bring the matches or the big lighter? Where did the coals come from? Who caught those fish that were on the fire already and cleaned them? And who made the bread? My wife and I have made bread together quite a bit, and we enjoy that in the process. But I know what it takes to have your bread stored in the fridge, and you have to feed it, and then you have to dip it out and put it with a flour, and you have to let, God, it's not easy. Even if they didn't use yeast, even if it was flatbread, it still took time. Why did he ask them to bring some fish? Guess what? Jesus was providing everything they needed. We're learning here. Why did he ask them to bring fish? Well, Jesus was in the habit of teaching his friends. He was in the habit of helping them understand how things were going to go when he was gone. And this is what he was doing. He looked at them and he had said, well, I will make you fishers of men. The shepherd doesn't do all the work. The sheep doesn't make sheep. The shepherd, what? Takes care of the sheep. What Jesus was saying to them then was, I am providing everything you need. I mean, this was better than driving through Hardee's. I mean, he had it all. It was there. It was prepared and ready. What Jesus said was, now go out and bring other sheep into the fold, and I'll take care of them too, because I'm the good shepherd. Verse 11, so Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. He's making two points here. I looked at all kinds of things. Mainly he was using 153 as a hyperbole. But something even better is he was saying that this net isn't going to break because there's room for everybody. There is room in the kingdom of God for everybody. He did not disclaim anyone. Everyone, whosoever will, may come. The heaven's gates are open. And Jesus in verse 12 said to them, come and have breakfast. None of his disciples dared ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Doesn't that look a little like the Last Supper that he just did? This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. But today is our next challenge in ministry. That's what we're doing here today. We are on the brink of bringing a new pastor in. We've been praying about that. We've been looking at our budget. We've been looking at what we can do. God is opening doors for us. We have many challenges ahead, like the ministry that we're starting for foster women and for others. We have had many opportunities through this year. The clothes giveaway we had just a few weeks ago. But today, we have seen that we stand on the shoulders of some wonderful men. Not perfect. And I think the family understands that statement completely. Because I can look at all. We are just simply doing what God has asked us to do. And places here today. Both pastors and members have dedicated themselves for years and years and years. And now we can commit ourselves to do the same. I love the past, and I love what I have found. But folks, we can't change it. We can't do a thing about it. We can do something about today. And we aren't promised tomorrow. But I know that if we don't plan, then I may not have breakfast in the morning. If we don't plan, and if we don't prepare, we won't be able to do the things that we want to do to help bring other people in, to help enjoy our time of hot dogs on the front porch, of being with other people. And so that's why we dedicate. That's why we celebrate. Back in 1960, We dedicated a plaque that is over here in the old sanctuary. And I believe that was, Brother Van Landingham was pastor then. Is that right? It says, okay, I want to make sure I knew. But we did that, and then we put this cornerstone in this new building, and there are letters from people for like 2075. I think we looked at 100 years when that might be open. Folks, if someone's here, great. If not, we'll all be in heaven, and we'll read the letters. It won't matter. So those things are important, and those things make us who we are. And so today, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation, but then I'm going to close with a prayer. And the prayer is for dedicating our lives. The prayer is for thanking you folks for being kind enough to come and participate in the love of your own family, because that's a fantastic tribute to them. And we appreciate all of that. We appreciate you taking time to come and break bread with us. And so thank you again, and I'm sure that others in the congregation will definitely want to talk to you as we go back and prepare that. So, the hymn number today is 321. I think it'll be on the screen as well. Let's stand together and sing just a couple of verses of this hymn. It's our privilege because we're soldiers of the cross. Father, you have given us marching orders, and you intend for us to share with others the love you have given so freely. I thank you for this family that through the ages have not only felt the history of their great-great-grandparents, but Father, realize that our lives are touching other lives and other people. And so, Father, I'm thankful for that.